As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Dinner dates are here.
And they're hungry.
Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko. This is Hockey Nation on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
After the games are done, you try to let them go as fast as possible. But like I said, people are going to hype the game up for any reasons, and it's going to be talked about. And obviously, the game will run its course tomorrow. But like I said, we're focused on winning a hockey game and making it a successful road trip.
Matt Martin of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Come on, we're looking for fireworks. That's what we're all looking for. The Maple Leafs getting set to battle the Vancouver Canucks tonight. We'll start counting down to that game in a little bit and see what retribution may or may not happen there, given what happened a couple weeks ago at Air Canada Centre. But it is Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and The Fan Radio Network. Your must-listen-to Saturday afternoon radio hockey staple as we take a look at all the NHL action that's going on around the NHL. A number of games this afternoon, a number tonight. Bruce Boudreau will join us in an hour's time. Of course, his Minnesota team will be here on Wednesday. But, you're the ex-player, Todd. What are you thinking may or may not happen tonight in Vancouver?
You know what's going to happen? You know what should happen is, first of all, I've been in that situation where all of a sudden you hear a guy talk about, you're dead. This is going to happen. If you're Matt Martin today, you go right up to him first shift. You're on the ice with Grubanson, and you just say, all right, let's get it over with. Let's do it right now. And if he accepts the challenge, you do it and you get on with it. If you don't, then you own that guy for the rest of the night because, he's not going to do anything. He was all talk, all bark, no bite. We'll see what happens tonight.
Well, we're supposed to interview Elliot Friedman, so let's get it over with now. Let's bring on our man from Sportsnet joining us, of course, Hockey Night in Canada. Friege, what do you think will or won't happen tonight in Vancouver?
You know what? I bet you we might get a good Branson-Matt Martin fight, but that's probably, unless they decide they want to go after Kadri, that's probably about it.
Now, what about Burrows on Morgan Riley, the unspoken spear?
Yes, you know what? But I didn't get the sense there was as much outrage about that as everything else that happened. I mean, obviously the Canucks were angry about the Kadri hit. Obviously they were mad about what Matt Martin did, and they were mad about the Riley hit, which I thought was fine. But I didn't get a sense that there was too much. I got a sense that more of the outrage was directed Vancouver's way at Toronto than Toronto's way at Vancouver.
Elliot,
I don't think the league liked Burrows play very much. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I know the Leafs didn't like it either. Elliot, this is what I'm thinking tonight. And you weigh in what you think. I think that what's going to happen is I think Matt Martin is going to get on the ice. And just before he came on, I think he'll get right in Granson's face. He's going to say, listen, do you want to do it? Let's get it over with. And I think that most likely it would be accepted. But I'm thinking, and it would be all over. But then after that, if there's any sort of marginal hits, maybe Kadri gets in there and he gets another good shot in, or someone goes after Kadri, it's just going to take that little spark to maybe get things going again. As much as both sides have said, this is all about 2 points, that's what we want to work on, we're not going to worry about anything else. But I think it takes one little bad word or maybe a marginal hit to get this thing all fired up again.
Well, I think that's very possible because the passions will be inflamed. There's no question about that. And I also think the wild card is Kadri himself. He's proven that he can get under people's skin. He may be one of the more hated players in the league right now, which is probably a compliment to the way he is playing. And I think the other thing, too, is that I know that one of the things I was talking to a coach this week, and I was asking about Kadri, and his response was, he's become very good at what he does, so you have to get to him before he gets to you. You almost have to say, we're not going to wait until Kadri takes the game to us and decides to drive our guys crazy. We're going to go after him first. So I wonder who's going to be the first team to take that kind of advice and do it. And that could certainly inflame everything.
Now, Elliot, on the Vancouver Canucks side, okay, see, the expected happened in Florida. Tom Rowe was always the heir apparent. Calgary and the New York Islanders seem to have kind of righted the ship. What about Vancouver? And, given an owner like Aquilini that is perceived to be you know, impatient and not one that won't take action if necessary. Where do you sit as far as the coach, the GM, or any kind of overhaul they might be thinking of?
I think that in Vancouver, it's kind of... I think things change quickly there. I think it's an owner that is involved. I think they're a team that's always worried about selling tickets. Like if you take a look at when did they fire their last GM, Mike Gillis, who had a very successful five-year run, the best five years in the history of the franchise, and the moment the building stopped being full, he was gone. So I do think that sort of tells the tone for what they decide to do. Look, Louis Desjardins in the last year of his contract, I don't think he's the problem. I think those players have played very hard for them. But anytime you get a guy now who gets into the last year of their contract without an extension, Gord, it's a story and you know it. And I just think that it's an easy change for them to make, though I don't necessarily know if it's the right change. You know, Luke Fox of Sportsnet did a sit-down with Lyndon the other day, and he published it today, and it's getting a lot of play out in Vancouver. And one of the things Lyndon says is it fair to do a rebuild while the Sedins are still here after everything they've meant? And I think that says a lot about the way that they feel. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you kind of have to rebuild on the fly, but... I just think, and I do think that last year, Vancouver dropping two spots in the lottery really scared them off depending on that. So I always think that next year is the last year of the Sedins contract. They wanted to be competitive to that point, and then they would see where they were. But I do think there's lots of potential for change there.
Elliot, you know, you know, Gord and I were talking about this. We're saying, has there been a shift in power from the West to the East? I mean, you look at the Canucks, they were on a 9-game losing streak just a month ago. And now they're still only 4 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, what does that say about how the West was in the past and maybe how the East is now? It just seems like there's been a shift of power and all the top-end teams seem to be in the East right now.
Well, you know, Todd, I think that definitely is true. I think we haven't seen a lot where the East has been better over the last few years, but I think we've got that now. But the thing is, in terms of the races, with the loser point, that's the way the NHL is now. This is what the league wanted. They wanted to be able to say that more teams were in the playoff race for a longer amount of time. Now, I know Pierre LeBrun did a big article this week about should we go to three-point games. Well, if you look at the KHL, they go to three-point games, and they're talking about there's already like a 60-point spread between the first-place team and the last-place team. NHL doesn't want that. And, yes, I do think the better teams are in the East right now, top to bottom, but I also think that the reason that Vancouver is still in the race is not necessarily because the West is bad. It's because it's very hard to get separation now. The way the league is built, tight schedule, tight games. You know, as Daryl Sutter says, it's a 3-2 league, loser point. It's very difficult for anybody to really get knocked out early unless you're terrible.
I just want to ask one last one. I know you have to get ready for Hockey Night in Canada, but you're big covering the league as an overview. Major League Baseball, 5-year collective bargaining agreement, and there was talk that the league was trying to get the NHLPA to agree to extend the collective bargaining agreement for Olympic participation, whatever. I mean, we're already seeing contracts now being loaded to avoid a potential lockout year down the road. I know it's a long way down the road, but what is your sense right now?
My sense is that the players hate the escrow, and they want it capped like the NBA players do. But that's a big one for the league. That was a huge victory for the league in terms of getting that. And it's not going to be easy for them to give up. But, Gordy, I believe this. I believe if the players were willing to make a trade-off, and that is like the big signing bonuses on contracts, not the rookie signing bonuses, but like the Shea Weber-type deals where you get paid $13 million in July and $1 million for the rest of the season, if the players were willing to tackle those, or term length, if they were now it's seven for someone else's player maximum, 8 for your own player, if the players are willing to go to 5 and 6, I think the NHL would be willing to talk about it. I think there is a deal to be, I shouldn't say a deal to be made, because the one thing that we've proven is that the NHL and the NHLPA can't make deals unless it's at the end. But if both sides were serious, I think there is a deal to be made over those two issues. The question is, Gordo, are both sides going to be serious?
Well, yeah, we'll find out. I guess the tip of the iceberg. Hey, Freach, thanks as always. Hey, we're worried about your cough. Everything okay? Because, I mean, you let's face it, you carry the show. There's no show without you. Everything good?
That goes without saying, of course. But I'm going to be a gamer tonight. I'm going to force myself to play hurt.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll catch you later on, as always. Thanks, Elliot.
Take care, guys.
Elliot Freeman, the NHL on Sportsnet, part of Hockey Night in Canada as well.
I wonder if that's if Elliot got too close to Freddie Anderson and gave him his little sickness, and maybe that's why Freddie was feeling a little under the weather.
Yeah, we will hear from Mike Babcock in a few minutes' time. Apparently, Freddie Anderson will start, though. Yeah. Antoine Bebo was called up just in case something. Meanwhile, before we get to Mike Babcock, we'll talk about the Leafs. How about, you know, years ago, and it's funny, I was looking at the whole history of Montreal Canadian, Dr. Mulder, who I know a little bit, David Mulder, well, you know, renowned longtime team doctor there. Mm-hmm. And when Patrick Waugh had his appendix out, like basically it was the playoffs, and he didn't want to have it out then. So they basically stayed the course for a few days, put him in and whatever you do. And then he was able to defer it to later on. Well, this is not the playoffs. It's a regular season. So Corey Crawford of the Chicago Blackhawks are in Philadelphia. And maybe now or a little bit later, he's having an appendectomy in Philadelphia, going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, you know what? That's that's an interesting one. I've heard a lot of times about the appendix bursting on people and stuff. And it could be something that's really serious if you don't take care of it. So, I mean, those are the old days. And nowadays, things are a little bit more are put on the they're not put in the back burners. When something's this serious, this could be something very serious if he doesn't take care of it right now. And like I said, what was it, a couple months ago or a couple years ago, someone else had it and they were back within 9 or 10 days. So it's something that isn't going to be extremely long term, depending on how the body feels.
Yeah, it's considered the safest. Most minor of major surgery, you know, whatever it may be. So anyway, Corey Crawford out. They're saying 2 to 3 weeks right now as far as him being out. Quick note, we mentioned all the action going on around the National Hockey League, and you heard the score update. Some close games this afternoon. Boston 2-1 over Buffalo. New York Rangers 4-2 over Carolina. Chris Kreider getting 2 goals in that. Philadelphia 3-1 winners over Chicago. The Blackhawks had a 1-0 lead. The Flyers came back with 3 goals. How about the New Jersey Devils comeback against the Nashville Predators? What is it here? Mike Camilleri scores with 18 seconds left in overtime, but that is a tough one for the Predators to swallow.
Well, Camilleri scores on the top or the front and the back end of that because he scored the second goal about a minute into the third period and ends up getting the game winner late in the third. Yeah, that's a tough one to give up. And, you know, when you're up 4-1, I mean, now all of a sudden the panic button's going to go off. What happened? What's going on? But I'll tell you what, that New Jersey Devils team isn't quitting. And Mike Camilleri has been an absolute monster this last month for New Jersey since coming back from his injury.
So 4-1, the Nashville Predators are up. And as Todd mentioned, the Devils came back. I'm actually surprised. The Predators' record is 11-8-4. I forgot. They had a phenomenal November, but mm-hmm. they had a bit of a struggle getting going in October. And this was one of those tough on home ice to lose today as far as it went.
Yeah, and if you see the highlights afterwards, you're going to see there's a lot of breakdowns in the Jersey or in Nashville zone, and something that they've got to fix. I mean, yeah, they have a great record right now, 11-8-4, as you said. But yeah, that's something that can't go without being talked about. 3-goal lead, and that's the thing. The new NHL, I don't know what it is, but you get on a roll, things are going to happen for you. But up by 3 goals in the third period, that's tough. But Jersey,
wait, I know this new thing. Up by 3 goals is tough. Everyone's
well, no,
saying
it's not. I mean, you want to be
lead to have.
No, you want to be up by 3. But I mean, that's the whole thing about playing 60-minute games. You can't. This league is too good to take a shift or 2 shifts off. New Jersey got back in this game in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable.
What's the expression they say about the players after 2 periods? Go, I want to get mine. Just like they're 10-year-old kids, right? You're up by 3 goals, and the coach. Point night.
Yep.
Yeah. So the coach can say to them, "We got to protect this lead." Meanwhile, half the players think point night. I got to get my point.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, I think it happens at every level right now. And I mean, I'm not sure that's what was going on in Nashville. But at the end of the day, there was a lot of breakdowns, a couple, two-on-ones, ill-advised pinches and things like that. But listen, New Jersey's playing good hockey too. They're 11-7-6 right now. And this is a New Jersey team that's scoring a ton of goals right now. 5 goals tonight. This isn't a New Jersey win. Like tradition usually states it is. It's usually a 2-1 or 1-0 win. 5-4 doesn't happen too often in New Jersey, but it has been happening this year.
Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko. It's Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of the Fan Radio Network. Now, by the way, we had Elliot Friedman on earlier. Bruce Boudreau will join us at the top of the next hour, head coach of the Minnesota Wild. And the less collective bargaining agreement talk we can do, the better, having been through three lockouts like you have.
Yeah, it's not
but,
fun.
But the one thing, if people aren't up about escrow, is back in 2004 when the lockout killed the whole season, one of the things put in is this word escrow. And basically, it's a safety balance the owner's got that, okay, there's a cap and there's all these other things. And then at the end of the year, there is this accounting method that determines what goes back in the pot to the players, kind of thing. And so first, it's estimated during the year. And let's say it's 15%. I don't know what the actual figure is, but it's been in and around that. So I'm not totally off base about that. It's varied each year. And so a player gets a paycheck. And I know for most people it's big money, like mm-hmm. Alexander Ovechkin, that. But I mean, you get 15% taken off. And then at the end of the year, they'll figure out, do they need to tweak it? Was it 16? Was it 14? Was it 12? Was it 17? And usually the players have asked for more taken off and they get a refund at the end, like 2 or 3%, whatever it may
yes.
be. But this is carried on. And it's now something they're saying the next thing that, yeah, what can we do about escrow? Because that's kind of a no-brainer for owners. So owners claim we need it. Otherwise, we can't stay in business. But it's a way of figuring out accounting at the end of it as far as profits go and profit sharing and all that kind of stuff. That's what escrow
is. Is it the NBA or is it the NFL that – I think it was the NBA that has a really good system that the players like. And I'm not 100% sure.
Well, it's this a good system the players like. It's not what the owners
NHL
would like, but yeah.
No, but one of the leagues has a really good a good balance, and I think the NHL is actually looking at saying we would like to do this, or the NHLPA would like to do this.
Well, NHLPA is looking.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, no, that's I hear that all the time with my buddies, and I I never played when there was an escrow in the league or anything like that, but I do know guys that are currently playing. Yeah, and that's a
well, you played when there's no cap, but
no
there also
cap,
wasn't
exactly.
big money like they're getting now.
No, not the way it was now. But yeah, guys that I talked to in the league, that's always a tough spot. Is talking about the escrow, and the word escrow is like poison in their vocabulary. They don't like hearing about it.
Yeah, but the word seven figures is pretty good if you're making that
that's
salary.
True.
So there's but anyway, that's it. The NBA, of course, there's apples and oranges a little bit when you compare all the different, there's no cap in baseball. Of course, football doesn't have guaranteed contracts and yada, yada, yada. But that's the talk we're talking about right now on the collective bargaining agreement side, just at the tip of the iceberg about that. Meanwhile, let's get to the game. And Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, had to be happy what he saw in Edmonton, not so happy what he said in Calgary. Here he is talking about his team getting set for tonight's game against the Vancouver Canucks.
Your goaltending situation today, Mike?
Yeah, Andrew, you'll start.
It used to be that they'd say let the players handle any grievances they had in the league, and the league's kind of changed a lot of the rules in terms of what you can do. How much is that? You kind of said correctly that usually there's a lot of talk and not much happens in these games. How much is the league's kind of changing of the rules affected that?
Well, I don't know if it has at all, to tell you the truth. I just think these situations, the way it is right now, is they need points and we need points, and discipline's a huge part of the game. I think our power play is good. I think their power play, even though the numbers aren't like they could be, is very effective, and so we both got to be disciplined. And my experience over time is there's always a lot of talking and nothing happens.
Mike, do you address it with your team as a young group, or is it left unsaid, I guess?
Well, we're going to talk about how we have to play, real simple.
It's a great opportunity, isn't it, given the way the team's been playing on the road, with exception of the opening two shifts, an opportunity here today.
Well, we have to bounce back, obviously. We weren't prepared to play last game, and we paid for it. It doesn't matter what you do if you don't start on time. So the team that scores first and starts on time has the best opportunity.
Mike, do you change how you view a game like this if it gets out of hand, if it's a three- or four-goal game?
I think... I thought we talked about it, but let's revisit it again, because I obviously didn't answer the question the way you wanted me to. So let's do it again. So in my experience, over time, is usually is a lot of talk and nothing happens. There, 2 points are important tonight for both teams, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of discipline. Anything else? See you guys.
Yeah, can you go over that again, Mike, as far as it goes?
Was that our boy Henny asking the question, or who was
it?
Oh,
I don't know. There are a few different guys. I don't know. I don't know. Just... yeah,
you've got to play it off court like that. You can't, you can't add fuel to the fire. So I understand him saying that, but deep down, I don't care what anyone says. There's going to be some bad blood tonight. There's going to be a little bit of hostility. Like I said, it takes one little spark to get this thing fired up. I think everyone's saying the right thing. They're doing the right thing. You listen to Grabanson and what he was saying prior to the game and different broadcasts and things like that. Oh, it's forgot about. I'm not doing. Well, no, it's not. You said it. So, you know what? You better back it up. That's how I look at it. And if you don't, you're going to get owned. Every time that you try to say something or do something on the ice moving forward against other teams, they're just going to look at you and laugh at you. So for him, if I'm him tonight, first shift I'm out there, I'm going after Matt Martin. I'm saying, listen, let's get it done. No 2-minute instigating. Go up, look for the dance partner, see what happens, and get it over. Because if he doesn't do it today, that's going to go against him long-term. It's going to hurt him long-term.
Well, and again, just if you're not up to date, what happened a few weeks ago on the Saturday, Leafs, Canucks, and after, they were ticked that Matt Martin took on Troy Stetcher. It was only like his fourth or fifth NHL game. Erik Gudbranson afterward could be heard saying Matt Martin's a dead man or something next time they play. Again, a couple of complications. One is the Todd Bertuzzi situation. I know that's a long time ago, but and I know that's getting a little bit over the top as far as, worrisome or trying to say anything's comparable. But when it went to court, Brad May was included in the lawsuit just because he said something. He said something before. He didn't actually do anything, but it was brought up, and that's where you got to be a little bit careful. And the only one to follow suit what you're talking about and seeing it play out that way was the Ty Domi hit on Scott Niedermayer, which, you know, changed the complexion of that Leafs-Devils playoff series. And just the momentum went back the Devils' way. They won the series, the whole thing. So next year when they played, I think it was in October in New Jersey, I thought, okay, it'll be forgotten because, I mean, they won the series. It changed momentum. Is that enough? But all of a sudden, no. A line brawl just all of a sudden brought, just happened. And they went after Ty Domi.
And that's old school. I get that's a long time ago. That's not the way this NHL runs nowadays. But when somebody goes and spouts their mouth off and yells something like that, or you're going off, I mean, you're not forgetting about it. And again, Matt Martin is a willing combatant. And I would say today, if it doesn't happen, then that's a slight against Gudbranson. He called him out and he said he's going to do it. So that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting it all to be done after that. But in the first period, when they're on the ice at the same time, these are two old school guys. I could see them lining up and there's no cheap shots, no nothing. It's drop the gloves. Let's get it over with. Okay, now we can move on with the game. That's what I'm expecting. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but that's what I think Matt Martin, I bet you Matt Martin, that's what he's thinking. And I think that's what he wants to happen in this game. Set the tone, see what happens.
Well, we will come back and we'll set up the game tonight again. The Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Vancouver Canucks. We'll talk a little bit more of the four games that are now finals. A lot of afternoon games going on around the National Hockey League. And in about 35 minutes time, Bruce Boudreau, head coach of the Minnesota Wild, will drop by. You're listening to Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and The Fan Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Back the other way. 24 seconds to go. Here comes Hall. He's got Camilleri with him. Taylor Hall across. They score! Mike Camilleri in overtime, and the Devils win it!
That's it. Gotta love the action from this afternoon. We've got it all for you, all the action this afternoon and tonight. It is Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko. Your must-listen to Saturday afternoon hockey radio presentation. We go around the NHL. We'll hone in on tonight's game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Vancouver Canucks, of course, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We'll talk a bit about those afternoon games, but first, that was the big one. Down 4-1, the Nashville Predators. Devils come back and tie it. Mike Camilleri scores the game winner, 18 seconds left in overtime.
9 goals in 18 games for Mike Camilleri. 17 points. This kid is on fire right now, plus 6. He's loving life right now in Jersey, and you know, he gets to play with Taylor Hall right now. That's a nice little combination. You heard them getting together and scoring that overtime winner. This Jersey team is for real right now. They've got some dangerous elements on that team, and they got a goaltender in Corey Schneider that can do some damage as they move on.
We mentioned that the goaltenders, so Corey Crawford had an emergency appendectomy, or will be having one today. Regardless, it will be in Philadelphia. That's where the Blackhawks played this afternoon. They lost 3-1 to the Flyers. Comparable as far as goaltenders having appendectomies. 2008 St. Louis Blues goaltender Chris Mason was back in the net 13 days after that. So they had to do the usual deal. You got Scott Darling starting, but who's going to be the backup? And this time it was the emergency backup goaltender Eric Szymborski, a 23-year-old native of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, played club hockey at Temple. So anyway, they could have signed Jimmy Waite to a contract, but he's, you know, so Szymborski played for the Empire Junior Hockey League's Jersey Wildcats. He only had a .884 save percentage there, but that would have been something if he had to get in the game. We see that happening from time to time when the Leafs played the Florida Panthers a couple of years ago. You know, both Montoya and Luongo injury situation. So it's another interesting tale, but I'm sure they're just as glad that they got to realize the dream and be backups and not play anything.
I'll tell you what, as a fan watching those games, you want to see those guys go in. You want to. It's added drama. It's a lot of fun. The one thing about Zimborski's Facebook page, I like this. His nickname is Preach, and his favorite quote on this, and typical, it's a goaltender. My goal, this is, he quotes this in his Facebook, my goal is to stop yours. I like that. I think that was pretty good.
But very catchy.
I'll tell you what, if you're that guy, I think you want to get it. I don't think you want to sit in the bench. I think you want to get
maybe as a team you don't want to.
Well, the team doesn't want it, but every fan, everyone that's out there watching, it's a hockey fan, they would love to see the Zamboni guy that backed up go in net. You'd like to see that, even if it's only for 4 or 5 minutes or that would probably equal 4 or 5 goals. But regardless, it would be a lot of fun to watch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. I a couple other ones. So on the St. Louis Blues, on the Detroit Red Wings side, Justin Abdelkader out approximately 4 weeks with an MCL sprain. Red Wings are a team a little bit on the slippery slope right now. Jimmy Howard had been their mainstay. He was expected to give up the job to Peter Mrazek as the number one goaltender. He's been the better goaltender, so he's out. So how about this 6'6" goalie, Jared Kerrow? He's going to make his NHL debut tonight against Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. What a way to make your NHL debut. He was never drafted, played Northern Michigan University. He's been in the Grand Rapids Griffins, Toledo Walleyes for the last number of years. Perth, Ontario. They have a Smith Way there. Billy Smith and Floyd Smith both came from Perth, so they do. They have a little street called Smith Way. And what a start, 25 years old. So here's one of the guys. A lot of guys are drafted high and different things. He's a guy who's never drafted, and he gets to realize his dream tonight.
Yeah, and you can't teach size. When you're a big goalie like that, you're going to take up a lot of space, and that's a nice little pedigree coming from Perth, where Billy Smith is from. Exciting time. I mean, I remember I made my debut when I was 24 or 25, and it doesn't matter whether you're 19 or like he is now at age 25. It's an exciting time. I'm sure the family and all the members that are close to him will be there to support him and stuff. But yeah, pretty exciting time anytime that you get to play your first NHL team.
Well, Darnell Nurse, you know, we talked about, you know, Jared Kerrow playing his first NHL game tonight. Darnell Nurse, remember his dad in the crowd and all that, just when he had his fight and all that. So anyway, that's a loss for the Edmonton Oilers. He's got they don't say it, but it's believed to be a broken
lower body
foot,
injury. Yeah.
Broken foot. So he's going to be out for a little while that way. And, you know, meanwhile, on the Toronto Maple Leaf front, well, first, we'll go back. We'll do the Calgary Flame front. They win last night. They beat the Minnesota Wild in overtime, 3-2. And the Dougie Hamilton trade rumors, which were rampant when the Leafs were out there playing the Calgary Flames on Wednesday, and actually Dougie Hamilton is a Toronto kid, and he kind of alluded to it all coming out of Toronto. Whatever. I don't think it did, but it doesn't matter. Then his older brother, Freddie, goes out and scores the goal against the Leafs 19 seconds into the game, his first goal of the season, which made the difference in the Flames' 3-0 win. So it... anyway, they seem to be back on track in Calgary, and we were chatting about it the other night, and I just saying, look, any big trade has not happened any whiff of premonition from any media outlet. Just doesn't happen anymore. I mentioned that years ago. I know one guy in particular got fired because he leaked something about Jaromir Jagr out to a media outlet, and he got fired, a friend of the media. So if you go back, that the Ryan Johansson-Seth Jones trade, nobody had any inkling. The Dion Phaneuf to Ottawa trade, nobody had any inkling. Certainly those two big deals, you know, Taylor Hall for Adam Larson, and then, of course, Shea Weber, P.K. Subban, no inkling at all whatsoever. Even Steven Stamkos said he was going to stay in Tampa at the time he did. But on the other side, okay, there were rumblings. Ryan Johansson was being shopped when John Tortorella came around. There were rumblings about P.K. Subban in Montreal. And we knew in Edmonton that Peter Chiarelli was looking to move one of his big players, which could have been Taylor Hall. Yep. So I'm saying nobody gets the exact trades, but I've seen far too often where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, yeah, you have to imagine. I mean, and they were struggling there. And I mean, that's the big thing. Whenever things aren't going well, you have a guy that signed a big contract. and they're not producing the way that you think they should be, or the team's not fine. Maybe he's playing a good game, or maybe players are playing well where they are, but there's always going to be you know, a little bit of rumors and a little bit of rumblings going on when your team isn't producing or not doing as well as you think they are. So, yeah, I don't think it comes out of nowhere. I don't think someone just makes that up. There's always I'm sure there was a little bit of inquiries. Who knows? Brian Burke got awfully animated and stated that it's a complete farce and it was a GM that started this stuff, and you're getting different rumblings. Was there actually a GM? Who knows, you know, how that started? But they try to put a squash to it pretty quick, coming to the aid of Dougie Hamilton, saying this guy's not going anywhere, stressing how big he is, and he's a right-hand shot, he's 230. Why would you ever get rid of him? But, yeah, like, why does one particular name come up? You know, like, I agree with you, Gord. Where there's smoke, there is fire. So who knows? Maybe it's not going to happen anytime soon, but maybe down the road, come trade deadline, who knows? But looks like Calgary's got it back on track, so maybe those rumors do get squashed a little bit sooner.
Yeah, and of course, the one other one not making the Western Canadian trip was a bit of a surprise, Peter Holland. And at first thinking that it was initiated by Peter Holland, you know, frustrated. He got in the game last Saturday with the kind of mystery absence of William Nylander for the one game. And he was a guy that seemed to have, again, last year, hard to be a barometer. What's a decent season? What's not a decent season? Actually, we thought Colin Greening had a decent season, and he's playing with the Toronto Marlies. So,
and playing well right now down there, by the way.
Yeah. So anyway, Peter Holland was going to go to salary arbitration with the Maple Leafs. They agreed to a one-year, $1.3 million contract, averted salary arbitration. And, yeah, I think early on he was getting some okay ice time. But then, I mean, the Leafs have gone so full on with the youth movement. And the fact is that, I mean, not that Peter Holland's an old guy at all, but just, you know, that all of a sudden there's no spot for Peter Holland. And he was averaging a little bit over 10 minutes ice time overall with the Maple Leafs. So Lou Lamoriello told him and his agent Joe Resnick just to stay put, and they're going to try to work something out.
I'm sure Joe loves those calls, and maybe the next one's going to be Frankie Corrado because he's got the same agent. But Peter Holland, it's interesting, Gord. Like, I mean, you sign a guy, $1.3 million, you know, you think in the nowadays in the National Hockey isn't a lot of money, but for me or you or anyone, that's a lot of cash. And if you didn't have plans for the guy, if you knew it wasn't going to happen, why do you sign that? Why do you give away $1.3 million? My thing is maybe they thought that he was going to play extremely well and they're going to get some value for him as he played longer. But I don't understand that signing. If you didn't think he was a part of the team, why would you even sign him to begin with? But maybe to your point, they did think he was going to be a piece of the puzzle starting. And they didn't realize that these young guys were going to develop as quick as they could. And then all of a sudden, like, man, this guy can play. Soshnikov comes up. He can play. Nylander, wow, we didn't know if he was going to make it, you know, and go down the list. And so all of a sudden, you know, now he becomes expendable. The one good thing for Peter Holland, he's got a $1.3 million contract in his pocket, and he's not sitting out there trying to find a team like other guys like a Brandon Prust and those guys that had to go over to Europe to find work. But he's relatively young, and this guy's a good player. He's a good person, and I think whoever picks him up is going to get a solid forward. I still think Peter Holland has a ton in the tank to offer wherever he goes. It's just not going to be with Toronto.
Gord Stellick, Todd Aluska, you're listening to Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Fan Radio Network. Well, no, I think Peter Holland was a guy they definitely were considering. That's why they signed him. Yep. But they claimed Ben Smith off waivers, right?
I know.
And they like him more, and Connor Brown made the team, and Soshnikov's now on the team, and Zach Hyman's on the team. And I mean, not that they're all total surprises, but just the extent they've gone with the youth movement. Whereas Brooks Light, Colin Greening, Milan Mihalik, they're all salary dumps. Two came in Ottawa, salary dumps in the Phaneuf trade. One came Brooks Like in the Washington trade. They took some salary off the Washington Capitals' hands. All of them, their contracts will end this season. And I thought that one of them may be up. One of them still may be up with the Leafs at some point. But I know they're disappointed being with the Toronto Marlies, but that wasn't totally unexpected. But in Peter Holland's case, I think they thought at 24 or 25 that, you know, he's still at a spot for him.
Yeah, it's to me, it's surprising because I thought he was going to be a piece of this moving forward because he is young. But I've seen this before, and you've seen it before too, Gordon. A new coach comes in, a new GM comes in that's not their player. And it's unfortunate because the guy that is not the upper tier guy, the guy that's making $6-7 million, regardless of whether he's playing good or bad, that's the guy that's always the odd man out when a coach wants to make a change or GM wants to make a change and says, and basically it comes down, that's not my guy. So I don't really, you know, I have nothing vested with him. And the guy that's on a lower pay scale, they're not stuck with anything. He's the guy that usually gets bumped out regardless of whether he deserves it or not, because I don't think Peter Holland deserves it. I think he deserved to play. I love the way he played, and I think he brought something to the table, and I think he could have fit in this organization, but for whatever reason, they decided to go another way, and they bring in a guy like Ben Smith. Now, all of a sudden, Ben Smith is Mike Babcock's guy, is Lou Lamoriello's guy. So all of a sudden, Peter Holland is on the outside looking in.
Yeah, and Jared Cowan, there'll be a decision by the arbitrator about his contract coming up in the next few days. So we'll find out if there is a salary cap hit that the Leafs have to absorb. That was the other piece. What is an eighth overall pick by the Ottawa Senators? Mm-hmm. And the thing was, he claimed, or the claim he's saying is, he was bought out, which was the expectation that he was going to be bought out when the Leafs took his contract from Ottawa. But then there's a dispute that you have to be healthy to be bought out. I mean, that's kind of where they are with Joffrey Leupold as well, that you have to be healthy to be bought out, and so you couldn't buy him out. And that's the dispute they're having with Jared Cowan, so we'll find out what gives in that regards. And one other one, and I don't know if the saga is going to carry on. It's kind of a fun, but the fact that, you know, Jonas Enroth, you look at him playing in goal the other day, and Kerry Ramos being around and to get in shape, and that, it's just kind of weird. No contract with the Leafs at one point, or apparently had a nameplate. Chris Johnson said had his nameplate in the Maple Leaf dressing room, which had to make you feel weird if you're Jonas Enroth. Kerry Ramo trying to bounce back from significant injuries. And so, again, I don't know if there's smoke, there's fire, that the Leafs may look at, you know, bringing him up as the backup or not. But certainly in Enroth's case, when the dust settled, how did you think he played on Wednesday?
Well, it's not, you know, I thought that he played okay. I think that at the beginning, and I know everyone was saying, well, they're not his faults, the goals, the first one, and then the second one, a big juicy rebound. They're not his faults. The team has to come back, and I agree. The team has to play better in front of him, especially when a backup doesn't get the opportunity like a starter does. You're always going to get the back end of tough games. Your schedule is going to be against you. Maybe a lack of sleep, all this stuff. You're always going to have those things against you. But at the end of the day, the job as a backup is to come in and do spot duty and give your team a chance to win. And I thought in that game, maybe one of the two goals, he probably should have stopped to give his team that opportunity. He knows the situation he's in, and no one's blaming him. He's not the reason why this team is where they are in the standings, because he gets spot duty here and there. But I think that your goaltender has to give you that opportunity to win. And I thought early in that game, he didn't do that. He settled in fine and played great the rest of the way, but that's already too late. The game is already sealed and gone because of the two quick goals, and maybe one of them, you come up with a big save and you give the guys that maybe made a mistake in front of you, you bail them out. And it didn't happen in that game, and he hasn't won a game yet for these guys, even though he's only played, he's had three starts, he's been in five games. So not great. Not a big goalie though, Gord. I mean, nowadays it is so rare to see a goalie under 6 feet succeed in this league, and he is a smallish goaltender for the Leafs.
Well, we will take a look, actually, at all the action going on tonight as well in a second. But speak of the devil, Matt Brown mentioned Jared Cowan picked one behind Nazem Kadri in that draft all those years ago by the Ottawa Senators. We'll bring on our producer, Matt Brown, with a quick look. Four games this afternoon, out-of-town scoreboard, Matty.
Yes, four games already in the books, a total of 12 tonight on a busy Saturday night. You already mentioned the big one today. The Devils come back and beat the Predators 5-4 in a shootout. Nashville goes into this one at home with a 4-1 lead in the third period, and then five unanswered goals from the, well, I guess four unanswered, three unanswered. But PK Subban on the ice, Todd and I mentioned this, for all three goals against in that third period. He did score his sixth of the season in this game. Taylor Hall gets his sixth, his second game back from injury, but a big, big blown lead for the Predators.
What else going on this afternoon?
Other games, the Rangers win 4-2. Tonight, they beat Buffalo. Sorry, no, the Rangers.
Hurricanes.
4-2. Derek Stepan, Michael Grabner gets his 13th of the season. Chris Kreider's 5th and 6th. Power them in the third period to the 4-2 win.
13 tucks by Grabner.
He had 9 goals in 80 games last year, and he missed 900 breakaways. I mean, good on him, but.
You know, and he's the type of guy that he got chances last year. He just didn't finish it, and now he's getting the same sort of chances, and he's finishing it. And I'll tell you what, helping the Rangers out to a 17-8-1 record right now. Not bad.
In Philadelphia, we mentioned Corey Crawford before the game, of course, out 2 to 3 weeks with appendectomy surgery. They lose 3-1 in Philadelphia. Ivan Provorov scores his second and third goals of the season just 31 seconds apart. That would be the difference. Braden Schenn, he gets the other, his fourth of the season. Artemi Panarin, though, still gets his ninth of the season for the Hawks in that loss. They still sit atop the Western Conference.
And you know what, Matty? Provorov got two goals, but let's give him the hat trick because he saved a goal for the Flyers, too. He put his hand in the crease, and it went to review, and you could see it, Gord. I don't know if you saw it. But it looked like the puck had crossed, but because it was called no goal on the ice, they didn't have proof to overturn it, like substantial proof
wasn't
to overturn
conclusive,
it.
Yeah.
Conclusive, that's what I'm looking for. And he kept it out. So, technically you save one, so let's give that guy a hat trick for the game.
Yeah, and it was a goal. There's no question
Absolutely.
Across the line. There just was enough evidence,
That would have made it 3-2 early in the third period, too.
Yeah, against that Hawks team, who knows where it goes.
And Buffalo Sabres back to just scoring one goal a game.
They are back to being the old Buffalo Sabres. Yeah, the Bruins beat them in Buffalo 2-1. David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron get the goals. Evander Kane, though, he gets his first of the season for the Sabres. You guys can both attest to this. Patrice Bergeron, he was a little under the weather going into this game, but you always seem to play your best games when you're feeling a little blue.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little blue all the time, and that's why I bring it. I bring it on the show. 365 days a year.
You are blue. You're a Denim Dan today.
Oh, he looks so good. He's looking top-notch
tonight. Yeah, but you are right. Sometimes when guys are under the weather, they come up with a big game.
And go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're so true. I've been there before where you maybe take a quick little something or other to make you feel better. But, yeah, I
hope it's legal.
Well, some days it was, some days it wasn't, right? And you go out there and you just try to fight through it. And it's true. Those days that you didn't think that you had anything to give, you just reach down deep and all of a sudden you've got something. You end up having a good game.
Other games tonight on CBC, the Ducks are in Edmonton. Tough news for the Oilers. Sounds like Darnell Nurse has a broken foot. Mm-hmm. He'll be out long-term. Stars are in Colorado. The Blue Jackets are in Arizona. You mentioned Jared Carreau will make the start for the Red Wings against the Penguins in Pittsburgh. Capitals against the Lightning. The Lightning holding on to one of the final two wildcard spots in the East right now. A team that a lot of people would pick to be the best in the Eastern Conference, struggling so far this season.
They've toned down a little bit. Winnipeg at St. Louis as well. Our friend David Bastel, he's going to watch Leaf game, of course, but was keen for Winnipeg at St. Louis. Florida at Ottawa, too. Bobby Ryan on the injured list and the Tom Rowe machine on the road. He got his first W, Todd, the other day. So, we'll, you know, right
and
now.
We should mention the Jets machine. Have lost five straight on the road.
I know. You know, some, like, they're a real Jekyll and Hyde thing, aren't they? Incredibly exciting and then incredibly ordinary.
And Patrick Laine keeps, you know, regardless of how the Jets are playing, he seems to continue to get goals. He's got 15 on the season right now. This guy's continuing to have an unbelievable rookie season.
Yeah, you mentioned Tampa Bay and their woes of late. Of course, Steven Stamkos out. Anton Strollman was out for about 8 or 9 games. He finally came back as well. And
now, who should be mentioned there, though, who isn't in their struggles? Nikita Kucherov is having a unbelievable season after signing that bridge contract. He's got 28 points. He's top three in scoring this year. Second behind just Connor McDavid.
Columbus Blue Jackets in Arizona. Another late game that you talked about. You mentioned Anaheim, Edmonton, mentioned Dallas, Colorado. Colorado and Arizona both at home tonight. And Todd, they're two teams that kind of got to get it going a little bit more. Colorado expecting to be in the playoffs. I think Arizona understanding it's still part of a rebuild, but looking for a little bit better results.
Well, yeah, you're not out of it yet. I mean, this is still early in the season, and that's the whole thing is you don't want to give up any more points if possible, you know, just before Christmas. You're still in the mix. You want to get some wins. And if you don't, you may find yourself on the outside looking in really quick, regardless of where you are right now. One thing I was curious about, Gord, and Maddie, maybe you can jump in too. Was there any? I'm hearing rumblings and a little bit of rumors that maybe the Islanders themselves were looking to make a deal, and the name Matt Duchene has popped up a couple places. And you know, I don't know if the Islanders have someone to give up for that, but maybe you got to look at maybe some young pieces. Maybe Garth Snow is feeling the pressure, and he feels the pressure to get better quickly. And maybe if a guy like Duchene is on the market, you're willing to give up a Matthew Barzal and maybe a Josh Hosang, one of those guys, to maybe get a guy like that in their organization.
Yeah, local guy Michael Del Cole, he's having an okay year in the American Hockey League. They're looking for him to come to fruition. Boy, they do things different on Long Island. Nobody will know what they do.
Well, we know the ownership group, right, isn't happy with the start of the season. But I thought Duchene was one of those situations where it was Patrick Waugh that wanted him out. So we'll see how that goes from there.
Yeah, and certainly. And I believe Gar Snow gave, you know, former Leaf Jack Capuano a real vote of confidence, you know, kind of like last year Michel Therrien got from Marc Bergevin in Montreal just the other week. Let's find out what's going on in Minnesota. They've had a few losses of late, but all in all, it's been a great start. Their head coach, Bruce Boudreau, will check in, and we'll count down to the Leaf-Vancouver Canuck game as well. You're listening to Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now you have a reason to crack a cold one before the game. This is Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Todd Halushko on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Hockey Nation. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Fan Radio Network. Of course, your Saturday afternoon must-listen to hockey radio presentation is what we'd like to say. We're counting down. Toronto Maple Leafs getting set to take on the Vancouver Canucks. A number of NHL games going on today. We talked about the four finals this afternoon, and we'll be enjoying the hockey tonight, but getting set to battle the Edmonton Oilers tomorrow. That's the Minnesota Wild, their head coach, Bruce Boudreau, joining us. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing well, Gord. How are you? How's yourself?
Everything's good. Everything's good. So, a young Bruce Boudreau, what's the most memorable hockey Christmas gifts you got?
You know what? They were free airline tickets from the Leafs.
That was a pretty good one, too. Yeah, Harold was pretty good. Yep. Two tickets anywhere American Airlines fly
American
for a while.
American Airlines, yep.
Where'd you go, Hawaii?
Went on my honeymoon to Puerto Rico.
Nice.
That's as a player, yeah, as a coach.
So it was really cool.
A player.
They gave tickets out. They gave tickets out for players.
That's right. Yeah.
Come on.
Harold may have been cheap, but he had good Christmas gifts.
That was
it. Yeah. Guys love that gift. So, hey, how about the team right now? You know, you try to balance about how a team's record of late, a little bit of a slide standing wise of late. It's been a great start so far. How's the team played though in the recently?
You know what? I mean, indifferent would probably be a good word, I think, Gord, Todd. We've played well enough just to lose, whether it be a shootout or whether it be overtime or whether it be a one-goal loss. I think we've played more one-goal games than anybody, and we've only lost one game this year by more than one goal. So, and that was an empty net goal that they got, but... you know, I think we all believe we're capable of doing better, and we just want to make sure that we continue to stay in the hunt, because at one time in the year, we think we're going to be able to put a pretty good run together.
Well, pretty good run. I mean, and you need a goalie to do that. And Bruce, in your career as an NHL coach, you've had some good tenders, the likes of Olaf Kolzig, albeit at the end of his career, Jose Theodore, Varlamov, and then you had Holtby for a little bit in Washington, but he was only a young guy at 21, and then Hiller and Fask and Anderson and Gibson. But during those years, there didn't seem to be a clear-cut number one goalie all the time, and you always had to seem to make difficult decisions on a daily basis in terms of who's going to get the start. How much more of a stress-free life have you had knowing that Devan Dubnyk is your number one guy on a daily basis?
Well, it sure makes life easier. There's no doubt about that, and he's been nothing short of sensational all year long. And you're right. For the most part, when you have Holtby, Varlamov, Michael Neubert, they were all together, but they're all 21 years old, and you're getting young guys that are actually competing for the number one job because you didn't know what you were getting from any of them every night. But I know I can call his number, and the hardest thing is finding times for Comfort to play because the schedule gets so crazy. If we don't keep at least the other goalie sharp, sometimes if Doobie was to get injured, it's a tough situation to put somebody in.
You know, in retooling the team, or not retooling, but some of the add-ons, Eric Staal, I mean, I know he's not ancient. He's still, 31 or that, but that to have a career like he did in Carolina, and some people wondering what he had left in the gas tank. I imagine this has gone about as well as you could have hoped for.
Yeah, you know what? He has chances to score every game. And we were talking about it last game that he could have 15, 18 goals right now if things went in for him. But he plays the most on our team. He plays 20 minutes a night plus. He plays in all situations. He's been great for us. He's a good leader. I don't see a slow up or a slowdown in him at all.
Bruce, how do you, earlier in the season, you challenged young Matthew Dumba on the back end, who is going to be a great goal or a great defenseman for years to come. How has he responded since you challenged him?
Well, I mean, I think initially he was very good, but like the rest of our team and like a lot of young guys in general, the inconsistency sometimes creeps into his game. But you see the vast talent that he's going to have. And I always believed when I was in Washington that Jay Leach said to be a good NHL defenseman, you have to play at least 300 games. And it takes that long to learn how to play the position. Well, I mean, he hasn't played that yet. And I think in the upcoming years, he's going to be very good. Right now, he's very good a lot of times and inconsistent at others.
Bruce Boudreau joining us, head coach of the Minnesota Wild, joining Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko with Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and The Fan Radio Network. Third stop as an NHL head coach, the Washington Capitals. People seem to remember you took over a turnkey operation, but actually I think they were dead last when you came up from the AHL to the NHL. Certainly Anaheim was looking at a Stanley Cup when you went there. How would you characterize this challenge in Minnesota compared to the other two?
Well, you know what? Anaheim might have been looking for a Stanley Cup, but they were dead last in the NHL when I went there, as was Washington. These guys are a group that's been together most of them for 4 or 5 years now. And the biggest challenge for me is sometimes they've played one way and we're trying to play a little bit different. And sometimes that gets a little skewered here as they revert back to the way they used to play. So there's a lot more video and stressing on what we're doing now as to what they did then. And that's the biggest challenge with this group. I think we've got the goaltending. I think we're pretty solid on defense. We don't have the one thing this group doesn't have that the other two teams did is has that superstar scorer. And so we have to do it more by committee than we're doing. We're letting Ovechkin or Corey Perry get the majority of the goals.
Hey, so what in particular are you looking to do different with this team?
Well, I can't give you my secret score.
Give me a hint.
I mean, we play Toronto Wednesday. I can see Babs is probably listening on the radio right now to what we're going to say.
He listens all the time. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave. We'll talk about
it. If he was smart, right?
That's right. We'll talk about it Thursday.
Well, Bruce, I'll bring something up that I'm sure you can talk about. I mean, number one, first of all, Scott Stevens. I mean, he's been on the bench with you and. And it must be awesome to have that type of pedigree on the bench to help with this impressive group of defensemen that you guys have in the Wild. But somebody very close to Scott, who I know very well, and I think that you may have either coached him or played him, so I'm not going to throw him under the bus of who it is, but said that you and Scott have a very similar diets and exercise regime and things like that, where you guys do everything very similar. You can keep up with him on the ice and things like that. But from what I'm hearing, Scott Steven absolutely loves working with you. And you guys have a lot of similarities when it comes to, where you guys go to eat and where you go to work out. Is that true?
Absolutely. We're there together through thick and thin. He may order the salmon every day, and I'll stick to veggies, but that's about it.
We're good having him on board, of course, like we mentioned, with the Minnesota Wild. Bruce Boudreau joining us. And now, is it What is Toronto the most special building still on the road, or are there certain what buildings do you get jacked up, or now that you're a veteran, does it change?
Listen, Toronto's home, and everybody I grew up with, I know, still lives there, is still watching the game. So, I just wish we had more success in Toronto. I mean, no matter how good the team I had was, it seemed like we'd go to Toronto and things wouldn't work out. But it is the most special building to go to. followed closely, probably, but not even closely. But, I mean, Montreal is a special building to go into just for the atmosphere. But those two are definitely 1-2 in my books.
Hey, Bruce, I know the other night, and it's a tough one whenever you lose in a shootout. And I know that, Charlie Coyle had a chance and he went down and he missed on Chad Johnson. I know that you were quoted as saying that you told him maybe go top glove and he kind of changed his mind as he went down. Do you find that you like to give advice to guys on shootouts every once in a while, or more times than not, you kind of just let the guys go down and do their own thing?
Well, 95% of the time I won't say a word to them, but I just knew that I saw something in the previous shot and thought if he had done this, then we might have had a goal. But at the same time, I've also been in many shootouts, and I've changed sometimes you just see the goalie in the wrong position or in a different spot, and you say, geez, the play I wanted to make isn't going to be there, and you have to change it at the last second. And I'm sure that's what happened to Charlie.
Hey, you know, one thing back, you know, talk about the Minnesota Wild, of course, getting set, and you got a game against Edmonton tomorrow. But first, you had a number of stops along the way, and I believe you met your wife in Fort Wayne as well. And a guy named Bob Chase just passed away. He broadcast games forever. He was broadcasting games till he was almost 90, and I didn't know if you have any interaction with or a memory of him. Maybe tips so I can keep broadcasting till I'm 90 as well.
Well, you know what? He did it for 64 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob Chase was a great person. I think I said it when I was visiting Fort Wayne that years back that he should be in the Hall of Fame as a builder, and I don't know why he's not. But because Wool, the station that he broadcast on, was such a incredibly powerful station, you heard it all the way on the East Coast, all the way to St. Louis, and everybody knew who Bob Chase was. And I thought he was a great man. He was so kind and to me, and he was such a Fort Wayne Comet through and through. It's unfortunate that he passed, but I tell you what, he goes down right in one of the top broadcasters that I've ever seen.
Bruce, on a little bit of a lighter note here, my partner here, my broadcasting partner, who I've been with for 2 years, obviously you've known him much longer than I have. He keeps coming in all the time to the studio and telling us about his curling things, and he's been in bond spiels and things like this. And he tells me he's the he's kind of the equivalent to Al Hackner of the curling world. Have you ever seen Gord Stellick curl? And if so, is there a comparison to a curler that you might know?
I got to be honest, I haven't seen Gord Stellick do anything athletically in the 30 years I've known him.
That's
I've
what
heard
I thought.
That he does these things, but I have yet to see. I haven't even seen him play slow pitch baseball, which he used to talk about.
Oh, he brags about that, yeah. So,
you know, I mean, from that, from coaching, he tells me he coaches now. I don't believe that. I haven't heard or seen anything from it. Just curling. Well, you know, I don't know. He seems to be working all the time, but I don't see any sports that he's involved in.
Yeah, you know, like Todd Alusco is the modern-day Jack LaLanne or something like that. Yeah, exactly, as far as that goes. Well, someday we're going to get a golf game in, I know, but I'll look forward to catching you on Wednesday. What's the plans tonight? So what, 4:15 in Edmonton time? What are you doing tonight?
Well, as it just happens, Anaheim's playing here tonight, and I'm probably going to watch the game.
Okay, perfect.
Have you been in that rink before yet? Have you guys played there yet?
Yeah, we just got back from practice. It is one
isn't it nice?
Beautiful facility, and they've been top shelf with it. They did a great thing. So hopefully, I will have some success there tomorrow night.
Well, good luck tomorrow, and I guess it's good you didn't any of the secrets didn't get out about Wednesday's game against the Maple Leafs. So we'll catch you then, okay, Bruce?
I'm sure I'll see you before then, so okay. I'll tell you in private.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Bruce Boudreau, head coach of the Minnesota Wild. Of course, they're getting set to battle the Edmonton Oilers later today.
He's just one of the good guys, isn't he? Just one of the good guys. And those coaches, when you listen to or you talk to or you see them, you just cheer for the guy. And I mean, a lot of it goes back to, remember when we were watching the 24/7 series when he was with Washington. He loved seeing some of that inside stuff. He made that whole series. He's a guy that you cheer for all the time.
Well, he's one of the guys that just, and it just comes through. And I think it's one of Don Cherry's strengths as well, to go back a number of years, that relates that these people feel like they've won the lottery, mm-hmm. you know, and they're very capable coaches, very whatever, but they always feel and appreciate like the, and so you kind of go, wow, I'd love to be doing that. So I appreciate that person relating that way and not changing as a person. You see all kinds of people change. Joel Quenneville didn't change. There's other guys that changed. For example, as coach, I know we were talking to Bruce Boudreau, but I'm using that as one example. Like, Joel's had success. Still kind of, you're still the same guy. Other people change. Then when they get fired, they change back.
Sure.
And then they get a job again. And they change. And, well, and Bruce has always been very consistent.
And he seems like one of those guys. I mean, I think he had 147 games in the National Hockey League. So he played some, but not a regular all the time. And I think those guys appreciate it a little bit more than maybe guys that have been around for a long, long time and have been in the NHL their entire lives. So, you know, either way you look at it, he's a fantastic coach, a fantastic human being, and you're happy for the success he's having in Minnesota.
Well, and as we're about to check with Kevin Wood to get a little bit more about the Vancouver Canucks chat with him, but, you know, how about that? Bob Chase, 64 years, this guy broadcast the four-way Comet game. So I think we have a long way to go as far as that goes. He was a broadcast legend. So
and those guys loved it. And those little small communities, when they're doing those games, they take that. That might as well be the NHL for them, because they take as much pride in doing it there as they would if they were in the NHL.
Again, I guess, like I said, Bruce Boudreau, not one of the games tonight. Minnesota plays Edmonton tomorrow. We're taking a look around the NHL, all the games that are going on, and focusing on the Toronto Maple Leafs taking on the Vancouver Canucks. Kevin Woodley from NHL.com, In Goal Magazine, joining Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good, guys. I'm good. Yourself?
We're really good. Really good. Wondering if people are they anticipating any fireworks in some way, shape, or form, given what happened a couple weeks ago at Air Canada Center?
I mean, it's been almost a month, but I think you can't help but anticipate it. Certainly both teams, whether it's management, coaches, or players over the past few days, have done, you know, their fair share of kind of toning it down or dialing it back, talking about 2 points being the priority. But anytime a game gets as kind of out of hand as that one did, and we have big hits and controversial hits and players going after other players and that type of activity, you're going to have a lot of focus on the rematch. Usually it's from the outside. My expectation personally is that unless the score gets out of hand, I don't see much happening. But you know, certainly the marketplace, the fans, they're looking for that possibility.
Well, looking for a possibility for Vancouver to win tonight. They've had some success since Louis Erickson has kind of found the scoreboard a little bit. He's had 6 goals in his last 4 games. How important is it for this guy to continue to put numbers on the boards if Vancouver wants to win games?
Well, 6 in his last 11, but after none in his first 13, that's a pretty good turnaround. And I think what might surprise people from a distance is the 6 have come pretty much on the third line. Marcus Grantland at this point right now. So a guy who, you know, has paid a lot of money to start with the Sedins is no longer with them, is no longer even on their, what is officially, I would argue, their second line with Horvat and Berchi, but playing third line minutes and not on the first power play unit. And so that doesn't match the expectations that were in this marketplace for Louis Erickson when he signed, and yet that he's able to produce that further down the lineup is probably a positive as well, that he's able to contribute without being on the first unit, without being a part of the city, and still a big part of their penalty kill that has been one of the better ones in the league, especially of late. So there's value there, but it's not at a spot in the roster where the Canucks expected it, but they'll take it and they need it. They can't, clearly, as you saw during that 9-game losing streak, can't be a team that relies solely on the Sedins anymore. They need other guys to contribute. And for them, they're happy to see Erickson doing it, even if it's not where most expected it to come from.
Kevin, wonder, Vancouver may be the only team or one of a few teams that I always find searching for an identity. As long as you have the Sedins, you're not viewed as a rebuilding team. But I'm curious what niche you think they are.
The easy answer is they're caught in between. But I think if you look closely, they are rebuilding. They're just not doing a complete tear-down tank rebuild. The Sedins are a part of it, whether it's the fact that it's hard to move $14 million in combined salary, the fact that this organization is just not going to move them unless they ask to be moved. Their presence does change the dynamic, but if you look around them, if you look at this team being led in scoring by a 21-year-old Bo Horvat, if you look at a defense that right now, with Edler and Tanevogt, is the youngest in the NHL, and contributions from a rookie like Troy Stetcher, second-year pro like Ben Hutton, they're still stuck in between a little bit, but not as much as I think people perceive from the outside. They have gotten younger. They've added Barty. They've added Granlund. Are they sexy pieces like you get at the high end of a draft, like a Matthews, like a Marner? No. They're not quite as dynamic that way. But they are turning this roster over slowly, not as quickly as some in this market would like, but it is being turned over. It is getting younger. And we're seeing some young talent make contributions to this team. Like I said, Horvat, Barchi, Stetcher on the first unit power play. So it's not quite as stagnant as some make it out to be, and yet still not quite as fast a rebuild as some would like to see it, even in this market.
Kevin, how ticked off do the Vancouver fans and maybe even the team itself get when they have to accommodate the Toronto Maple Leafs when they come to town and have a 4 o'clock start as opposed to 7?
You're going to have a mix of both. You're going to have some people that say, why do we do this for this team and nobody else? But, hey, I personally like the early deadline.
So
would
I.
Home before midnight, and I think there's probably a lot of fans that like being able to go, whether it's for dinner or drinks afterwards after seeing this game. So, you know, I think in a lot of cities outside of Toronto, there's probably, you know, that sort of anti-Toronto sentiment, and anytime it's perceived as bending over to satisfy the Toronto media needs, you're going to have a little bit of that backlash. But whether it's here internally with the media or the guys on my beer league team, they like the concept of a local 4 o'clock start. It makes for a better Saturday night, to be honest.
Well, I can remember
I get to tuck my kids into bed tonight.
There you go. See the positives. I can remember years ago, a general manager of Vancouver being, when I did the afternoon show, on and complaining about that. His name was Brian Burke, who then went to Anaheim and then Toronto and all that. So he was going, yeah, center of the universe, we got to move our game, whatever, and all that kind of stuff back then. Meanwhile, about what do you call the hype, the buzz, the Toronto Maple Leafs are kind of a happening team with the young guys they have in town. What's been your read and people's excitement about Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner coming to town?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I think the focus, unfortunately, is mostly on the rematch from the last game and everything that happened in the last game. If I'm speaking selfishly, personally, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, you know, this is where some of the fan base here gets a little impatient with the rebuild here, is when you contrast it to what the Leafs have been able to do and the young dynamic talent that they've been able to assemble. And so I think, you know, the Leafs always travel well. Tickets have never been easier to get in Vancouver, that, you know, over the past decade than they are right now. I expect this to actually be more than 50% Leafs fans here tonight. And I think probably like myself, they're looking forward to watching this team. I'd like to see them more often in person because they're young, they're exciting, they're fun to watch, and that will create some envy among the Vancouver fans that want a full-out tank and rebuild type situation. But for me, as the quote-unquote impartial observer, I'm just looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, Kevin, I was going to ask you, is that going to add fuel to the fire tonight if Toronto comes out and they play this energetic game with all these young guys and they show speed and maybe they expose a little bit of the slower guys on Vancouver tonight? Could you see that triggering a little bit more going, man, that's what we need to go to?
Yeah, no, I mean, that conversation's already been here, and I think that conversation would be louder here if not for all the sort of extracurricular stuff that happened last game. That would probably be the focus,
yep,
especially given the way that young talent skated around circles around the Canucks the last time. Now, you know, hey, there's been games lately where Vancouver, you know, I mean, the Anaheim was a stinker the other night. They were lucky. It was a bad, you know, bad bounce for the Ducks that got the Canucks in the game with a fluky goal of 7 minutes left. But otherwise, I mean, they didn't piss a drop in that game. Other than that, though, there's been some signs of encouragement here. The 5-4 win over Minnesota was exciting. They've looked like a faster team. You're never going to be a speed-based team when you have the Sedins, but they've moved the puck and they've played faster of late, and they've scored some goals. I mean, before the Anaheim game, they were 6-3-1 in their prior 10, and they scored 32 goals in that stretch. So They have kind of found a bit more of an identity away from the team that you know that we saw in Toronto on that road trip. That was, you know, I think what they've been shut out in 4 of 5 and in the midst of a 9-game losing streak. It's gotten better here, but certainly juxtaposed against all that young talent that the Leafs have brought into their lineup. It's the temptation will be to make that comparison and say, why not us? Why didn't, you know, why aren't we going that route of a full rebuild here in Vancouver?
Well, we'll see what happens. Getting set about 35 minutes. Kevin, thanks very much.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Woodley, got to get set for the game there. NHL.com and In Goal Magazine talk about the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And interesting, we talked earlier, and we'll chat. We'll set up the game a little bit more when we come back. But Freddie Anderson, a bit under the weather. They called Antoine Bebo up just in case. Now, it turns out Freddie Anderson will start in goal. Mark Scheifele now a game-time decision for the Winnipeg Jets. Same thing, under the weather, Winnipeg getting set to take on the St. Louis Blues. This is a guy that, you know, when you talk about the young kids, he's still a young kid, but this has been one of the huge surprises as he's just grabbed the reins of leadership on and off the ice with the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, he's been unbelievable for those guys this year. I think he's, what is he, fourth in the league right now in scoring with 27 points or 26 points. And he's got, he's got the responsibility of having Patrick Laine on his line. And these guys have been lighting it up. And like you said, if more of the guys were playing a little bit more consistent like Mark Scheifele is, they'd have a chance to maybe be up in the standings a little bit more. But that's one constant in Winnipeg is Mark Scheifele has been unbelievable and continues to have a great year. So you don't want to see him getting sick or getting any injuries because he's having a career year for Winnipeg.
And again, Leafs Vancouver game guy from the NHL Department of Player Safety, former defenseman Stephen Quintel. He's out there in Vancouver.
So I don't know if that deters it. I really don't.
Well, the whole Steve Moore situation, they had a game after the hit on Naslund by Steve Moore that got everyone all ticked off, and all the authorities were there in attendance, and nothing happened. So it was the second meeting after that the unfortunate thing with Todd Bertuzzi and Steve Moore happened.
Well, you know, myself and producer Matt Brown were talking about that. You know what actually, what's funny about that is Steve Moore got in a fight with Matt Cook and, you know, that game, and Matt Cook got beat up by Steve Moore. He gave it to him pretty good. And it's kind of like, oh, they thought that was going to be all said and done with. And all of a sudden, when he gets beat up, well, we're going to go until we get the best of him. And I think that was a trigger point. Had Matt Cook taken care of the things and was classified as winning that fight, I don't think anything else happens.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, so that was quite some time ago, but quite still an ugly blemish, and an ugly blemish for the Vancouver Canucks, who were the kicking butt as an NHL team back then. They're trying to, the one thing this did, it sparked them a bit. They were deader than dead when they were in Toronto a few weeks ago, got on a little bit, I wouldn't say a tear, but a little bit more success. So we'll come back. We'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock. We'll get you all set. Leafs taking on the Vancouver Canucks, as well as all the other action going on around the National Hockey League. Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko, you're listening to Leafs Nation, Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and The Fan Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Gord Stelic, Todd Olushko, welcome you back to Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and The Fan Radio Network. Taking a look at all that's going on around the National Hockey League and honing in on the Toronto Maple Leafs getting set to battle the Vancouver Canucks tonight. It is interesting, two games this past week, and certainly, well, first of all, you go back to last Saturday, the home game against the Washington Capitals, then the game in Edmonton, so it's like old times. I don't know when, but say the Pat Quinn era, but other old times, and just wow. Two great wins, two entertaining games, and then Calgary, pumped, excited, and didn't happen. Two goals in the first 49 seconds, and that's game, set, match. But Nazem Kadri, three different challenges in three different places, right? In Edmonton, Auston Matthews, even Kidde, has no friends here because the way he goes at Connor McDavid. Calgary, last year's when he gave the throat slash gesture to Mark Giordano and was fined and spoken about that, so he had no friends in Calgary. And Vancouver, because of his hit on Sedin and whatever, Nazem Kadri, he likes to be kind of that outlaw in the West.
Well, we'll say no friends on opposing teams. I'm sure that Kadri's going to have a ton of friends when it comes to the Leafs in the fans in Vancouver, as they were in Calgary and Edmonton. There's such a fan following out there. They they love their Leafs, who regardless of what they do. But Nazem Kadri has definitely found a little bit of a niche for himself with this Toronto Maple Leaf team this year. I mean, he's having a great start to the season, 10 goals, 7 assists. He's creating all sorts of havoc, been playing that nasty game that you hate playing against but love having him on your team. And, I mean, the guys are battling for him. They're right beside him with whatever he does. But Nazem Kadri, I think that's the way that you want to see Nazem Kadri play. And when he does play that way, he's very effective on the ice.
Absolutely. And, of course, we always hear from Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And let's hear what he had to say getting set for tonight's game between the Maple Leafs and the Vancouver Canucks.
Your goaltending situation today, Mike?
Yeah, and you'll start.
It used to be that they'd say let the players handle any grievances they had in the league, and the league's kind of changed a lot of the rules in terms of what you can do. How much is that? You kind of said correctly that usually there's a lot of talk and not much happens in these games. How much has the league's kind of changing of the rules affected that?
Well, I don't know if it has at all, to the truth. I just think these situations, the way it is right now, is they need points and we need points, and discipline's a huge part of the game. I think our power play is good. I think their power play, even though the numbers aren't like they could be, is very effective. And so we both got to be disciplined. And my experience over time is there's always a lot of talking and nothing happens.
Mike, do you address it with your team as a young group, or is it left unsaid, I guess?
Well, we're going to talk about how we have to play, real simple.
It's a great opportunity, isn't it, given the way the team's been playing on the road, with exception of the opening two shifts, an opportunity here today.
Well, we have to bounce back. Obviously, we weren't prepared to play last game, and we paid for it. It doesn't matter what you do if you don't start on time. So the team that scores first and starts on time has the best opportunity.
Mike, do you change how you view a game like this if it gets out of hand, if it's a 3- or 4-goal game?
You know, I think... I thought we talked about it, but let's revisit it again, because I obviously didn't answer the question the way you wanted me to. So let's do it again. So in my experience over time, is usually is a lot of talk and nothing happens. There, 2 points are important tonight for both teams, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of discipline. Anything else? See you guys.
There you go, Mike. Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, getting set for tonight's game. As far as it goes with the Maple Leafs taking on the Vancouver Canucks. I like that at the end, that he kind of says, we talked about it once, and I guess we're going to do it again.
Apparently no one was listening to him earlier. It's it's going to be interesting. Gord, a question for you real quick. I mean, here the Leafs are right now. They played 23 games so far this year. They're 10-9-4. And this time last year, after 23 games, they were 7-11-5. So, for me, I would tell you, I look at that, you know, of course the record's a little bit better this year, but what do you see the biggest difference between last year and this year at this particular time with the Leafs?
Boy, lots of things, but, you know, one is just, first of all, the mindset. Last year, it was declared a disaster before the year even started. Not a disaster. It just was said, this is going to be an ugly season, and all you could hope for if you're a Maple Leaf fan was the lottery pick. As far as it went, which they ultimately won the lottery.
Yes.
And then, so that part. And then last year was Mike Babcock, who we hear a little bit more, the combative, feisty Mike Babcock. He was like doing like kid gloves, like, you know, about Jonathan Bernier and everything, and just, you know, week to week, game to game that way. And then now you talk about all the young guys.
Yeah.
All the young guys. What do you think?
Well, that's what I think it is, too. I mean, okay, they've got, what, 3 more wins than they had last year. At this point, but the fact of it is, it seems like this has got much more of a direction right now with all the young guys that are in it. They ended up getting out ahead of the curve right now with all these young guys that are playing right now. Maybe guys, when we talk about a guy, unfortunately, like Peter Holm, that's out because of this youth movement. But I think it's a completely different ball of wax right now this year compared to last year, because we're seeing this core group of guys that we think are going to be here long term, and they're having success with the guys that are here right now. And if this continues, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to make the playoffs this year? I don't know. But the simple fact that you've got all these young guys that are contributing and are major contributors on a Leaf organization right now, this was the direction that the Leafs wanted to go. They're having success. Things are definitely trending in the upward direction. There it is, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I just like it. I like the youth, and I like what the youth on this team is very, very important in terms of the core group. These guys are not just little pieces on the outside. This is a core group that is driving this team forward.
Yeah, it's absolutely exciting. It's as far as it goes, you know. And he mentioned earlier, we talked to Kevin Woodley. I think, you know, a couple of years ago, it was Troy Murray, the Chicago Blackhawk people. Everyone's looking forward to seeing particularly Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews come to town. So that's kind of a neat part about it for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a little bit of a swagger, a little bit of energy. Got to keep it in perspective. More exciting hockey, more winning hockey. But we're going to, of course, get set for tonight's game as far as it goes for the Maple Leafs. We've got to get your keys to victory as well. Are you all set with your four dealers?
Yeah, whenever
keys to
you're
victory?
Ready.
Yeah, let's hear it. What the Toronto Maple Leafs you think they have to do against the Vancouver Canucks?
Well, listen, this is a situation. There's been a lot of stuff being made about what was going to happen with all the retributions of with Kadri and Martin. But you've got to, for the Leafs, you've got to play the game. Don't worry about what might or might not happen regarding the last time they played the Canucks. If anything happens, deal with it then. Otherwise, just concentrate on playing the game. Number two, you've got to continue to get into the face of the opposition's goaltenders. Ryan Miller, like all the other goalies, hate traffic in front. And when the Leafs have had success this year, it has been when it looks like there's a car wreck in front of the crease. They got to continue to do that tonight if they want to get goals past Ryan Miller. And finally, we brought this up briefly, but I think it's a big point. Take advantage of the start time tonight. The Canucks were forced to move the start time up 3 hours to accommodate TV for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Players, Gord, are creatures of habit, and this will throw a wrench in the Canucks' preparation a little, maybe not a lot, but a little, especially in the first period. So a quick start and maybe a couple of early goals, and all of a sudden you're going to see the complaints and built-in excuses from the Vancouver Canucks of, oh, we're accommodating the Leafs, we're accommodating the TV. That's going to creep in, and that can be a distraction for the Canucks. Get off to a quick start, and good things are going to happen.
What about the Toronto Maple Leafs, though? You think that the 4 o'clock start, or do you think they're like will bug them as much
not
as
really
the bugs of Vancouver?
Because it's 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock Toronto time. I know they've been out west for a little while right now, but I don't think that's going to bug them as much as it would Vancouver, especially when they get into the building and they see half the building is wearing blue and white and is cheering for them. So, but I think deep down it's got to irritate Vancouver a little bit. And when you get on that ice and all of a sudden you hear the Leafs fans chanting, and obviously, and your schedule has been changed because it is Toronto coming in. I'm telling you, it's a built-in excuse. And if you can get on them early and often, it can definitely help to be the advantage for the Toronto Maple Leafs today.
Yeah, we were talking to Elliot Friedman to kick off Hockey Nation about an hour 45 minutes ago, and about, you know, all of a sudden the balance of power shifting seems maybe somewhat dramatically from the West to the East, or certainly a lot more equal. I mean, to me, the West has always been, particularly when they had the great Detroit Red Wing teams.
Yep.
I mean, just phenomenally better than the East by and large. But one thing indicative of it is teams like the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks being able to stay in the playoff hunt. I mean, they had a 9-game losing streak, the Vancouver Canucks did, but just 4 points out of a playoff spot right now. So they're fortunate early in the season to be in that particular place. But that also shows how important, whether there's fighting or not or fireworks or not, this game is, especially for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, 2 points. I mean, they got 22 points right now, and the last playoff spot is Calgary right now at 26. So win tonight, and they're only 2 points back. And the same can be said for Toronto right now. They're only 4 points back of Washington. They win tonight, they're two back as well. So it's, you know, these games are very important. It doesn't matter when you get your points. You got to give them at any time of the year. But I still, Gord, I still think there is going to be some sort of fireworks in this game. And whether it's at the start or at the end or in the middle, who knows what. But I think there was too much said, too many things were done for this just to go without any sort of retribution or I don't even know what it is, but I just think that Grabanson and Martin at some point are going to get it out of the way, and maybe that'll be the end of it. But I think if there's one dirty hit or something that they deem a dirty hit, especially from the Toronto side of things, things could go sideways very quickly.
Yeah, and of course, just to refresh our memories from a few weeks ago, it was really a nondescript game that the Maple Leafs had in charge, or had, you know, really were in charge of, and were smooth sailing. I'm trying to get the order together, but basically Kadri had a hit on Sedin. Sedin scored, but it was viewed as a cheap shot. And actually, it brought up a lot of debate. The general manager's meetings were a couple days later about these kind of side hits and how maybe they should or shouldn't look at them differently. And then it was a little bit of helter-skelter. And Matt Martin had been looking for someone to fight. He wanted to fight Alexander Burroughs. Burroughs went at Morgan Riley, gave him a bit of a spear,
got away with it.
Yeah, and didn't want to take on Matt Martin. And then Martin, out of frustration, then goes at it with Troy Stetcher, which is his fourth or fifth game in the National Hockey League. That seemed to really incense the Vancouver Canucks, so much so that Ryan Miller skated over, got involved. Then when Freddie Anderson came down to get involved with Ryan Miller, they just kind of had a chat, like Ryan Miller just filling him in on his day about why, why he came to the aid. And then afterwards, because of their anger about being a guy like Stetcher that Martin jumped or started instigate a fight with, Eric Goodbranson was heard to give a verbal threat that Matt Martin's a dead man next time they're in Vancouver. So that's kind of the sequence of events that went on a couple weeks ago.
And by no means am I saying this is going to turn into a Donnybrook and there's going to be a bench-clearing brawl, but I think that the one thing that is going to happen is you have to back up what you say. And Goodbranson basically told Matt Martin that you're done, you're finished, you're dead. And Matt Martin is sitting there and he's like, well, it's easy to say this now, the game's done. So now that they're back at it and they're ready to go, I fully expect Goodbranson to come out and to challenge Matt Martin, and Matt Martin will be more than happy to accept. This isn't what the game's all about. You want to win 2 points, but there are side points in a hockey game and things that happen in the game of hockey, and this is one of them. And I can guarantee they were both thinking about this coming into the game, trying to figure out when the best time is to do it. Should you or shouldn't you do it? But again, these are two more old school guys that I think are going to settle their differences, are going to come up to it, and they are going to do it at some point tonight. And I know that Mike Babcock and Willie Desjardins are they don't want them to get out of control, but I think they'll let these two big boys go at it if they deem it's the time and place, and I'm sure they're not going to hide each other from each other when one is on the ice and one isn't. I think it's going to come to head, and I think that it's going to be a great scrap, and then I think they're going to get on with it and they'll be done with it, clean their hands, unless Kadri goes and crushes another Sedin at some point tonight.
And by the way, we mentioned all the out-of-town games, and we'll be on right after the Leaf game's over with Leafs Nation postgame, and we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about the out-of-town games. And Mark Scheifele, yeah, under the weather, and he won't be playing tonight. He's a scratch for the Winnipeg Jets, and there tomorrow, hometown hockey is in his,
Barrie,
his hometown of Barrie, and it's focusing about him. So they play again, the Winnipeg Jets. So he's out of the lineup. That is a big, big loss for the Jets tonight.
Yeah, it is. Anytime you get a guy like that not playing your lineup, it's going to hurt. Yeah, Mark Scheifele, I'm sure he'll do everything possible tomorrow to be in the lineup, take some NyQuil or something, sleep it off, and get back at it tomorrow. But yeah, it sucks for them tonight. You don't ever want to lose your top guy for any reason, whether it's sickness or an injury.
Yeah, put it in perspective. He has 57 points since February 25th last year. That's the most anybody had in the National Hockey League since that day, last February 25th. 26 points in 26 games this year, and this could be one of the great contracts. The Winnipeg Jets agreed to him an 8-year contract, $6.25 million per season. Now, that ain't chump change. He's not getting ripped off or in like that. But just, given that kind of commitment as far as it goes, that could look awfully good for the Winnipeg Jets. So Brian Little will move into the middle against Laine and Nicholas Ehlers. Well, that's another good player as well.
A lot of good players there for a team that's
trying to get out of their losing streak.
Well, you brought it up. You brought it up before saying they're like the Jekyll and Hyde team of the NHL, and they really are, because every time they throw that lineup and the offense that they have, you expect them to be unbelievable every night. But that's the thing. You've got to be able to play at both ends of the rink, and that's probably been the one thing that that Winnipeg has had a tough time with, playing consistently and be able to keep the pucks out of their net as well as putting pucks in. So that's where I'm sure that they'll figure things out over there. But that is a nice young crop of players in Winnipeg.
Well, like we said, right after the game, we'll be back at it. We'll talk about the game. We'll hear from Mike Babcock. We'll hear from many of the players involved in tonight's game. And, simply put, a 3-game Western Canadian road trip, Todd. It's the slant on it is, if you get a W tonight, it's a real successful trip. If you don't, well, nothing's a total failure, because expectations are still a little bit on the lower side for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it becomes kind of a disappointing trip, given you started with a win in Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. You won the game where that was the one that you were going to give up, and you'd say this team is so good, and maybe we'll try to catch 2 or 4 points on the back end of it, but they got the first win. Yes, it would be a disappointing trip if they were not able to get 2 points out of Vancouver tonight.
And we'll be on right after the Leaf game ends with Leafs Nation postgame. You've been listening to Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick, Todd Olusko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and The Fan Radio Network.